healthcare.
No.
Welcome to the latest form of flogging podcast. I am Martin Lloyd Jones. I am an Anglican preacher, and I dislike all sorts of silliness. And I also dislike you. I also dislike the flogging show, and I am very pleased and squeezed that this stupid, dumb show will be ending. And I should think I'll be very happy when it's all over, and that is saying something. For I have never smiled, nor was I ever happy. But I will be in a few weeks' time, and so will you. So take it from me, the Doctor, Martin Lloyd Jones. Farewell to all of you, and thank you for listening. Now bugger off, the lot of you, or I will come back to life and follow you around.
I do have an exciting announcement.
Yes,
we have elected a minister.
I have to lean so far back to clap. This is great.
It's good exercise.
So, yes. What is that, by the way? No, this lifting a weight.
Have you seen
what
the movie The Exorcism?
Yes, I have.
It's kind of like that. Also, it's I haven't seen like that what, movie.
Okay. You're not missing much. Okay. Well, hey, you guys have been searching for some time now.
We have. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably been what? Like a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah. About a year and a half.
Yeah. So you elected to call a person. So what ultimately led up to this decision?
We had a couple candidates who are graduating in May come out. They've each come out twice, preached four times because morning and evening. And
four each?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Honestly, not a lot of people. Our seminary needs more people. Like we need more ministers in the RPCNA, and we need to be training more men. So this year there just weren't that many graduating. But we liked both of them. And so we decided to hold an election to kind of decide which one, and we decided on one. And so he can't actually come out here until May at the earliest, because he's not technically eligible to receive a call until he finishes with some examinations and things. Mm-hmm. But he did all the hard stuff first. So from an examination and a school perspective, he's kind of in his easy season. He's actually been visiting once a month. To come and preach and hang out. Well, he started not this past Lord's Day, but the previous Lord's Day. And he's going to be doing that once a month until he's able to move out here, which should be in May or June, depending on lots of circumstances.
This is a very important question, and I want you to answer it to the best of your ability.
Okay.
Not bear false witness. We need the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Does this young man, I'm assuming he's young, is that true?
I think he might be marginally older than me, so yes.
Okay, that's probably considered young. Does he have a Reformed accent?
You know who he sounds like?
Who?
Stephen Lawson.
Really?
Yeah.
Then he doesn't, that's, really?
Yeah.
That's not a Reformed accent.
Not just like Stephen, well, so Stephen Lawson is one of his like go-to guys for learning how to preach and stuff.
Okay.
You know how everybody kind of has like one or two guys.
He is for many. Like,
that's, you know, this is the guy. I'm not going to like try to mimic him, but I really appreciate his style and I'm going to take a lot from him. I think Stephen Lawson is his guy there.
So when you say sounds like, are you talking like rhythm, cadence, mannerisms?
Well, he's got a slight Southern accent. And then, yeah, okay. I'll send you a sermon from him. He preached a couple good ones, a couple Sundays.
I want to hear. I want to hear him. But also to see if he has a Reformed accent. I want to find one man. Is there one man in this town that does not utilize a reformed accent. If so, do not destroy it. That's kind of what I want to try and do.
No, we're going to work on him, to be clear.
All right. Okay, yeah. Enjoy it while it lasts, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. This is what we were going to talk about, Jim. I sent you a sermon from Ramesh.
Oh,
last
goodness,
name.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce his last name. And you, did you, well, first of all, that was your only comment on the sermon. Your only comment was, why can't I not find it? Oh, I actually listened to this. Why does every pastor or RPCNA pastor have a reformed accent? Do they learn this in seminary? And I realized we need to talk about this on the show.
Yes, I completely forgot about it.
So
he indeed does.
My question,
you cannot deny this.
My question is, what is the sine qua non, as you would say, of a reformed accent?
Really, you know what I think the heart of it is? It's, to me, the reformed, and I do think the reformed accent sounds similar. I can say that, but that's not really the core of what a reformed accent is. The core of what a reformed accent is someone who could pronounce a word a certain way, but refuses to, the common way, but instead slightly changes his pronunciation of the word to sound, and there's a number of reasons here, to sound more holy, to sound more authoritative, or to sound more RPCNA-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure. It might just be so they can sound more reformed, or they think they have to talk that way when they're preaching the word of God, as opposed to if they're not in God preaching mode and they don't talk that way. So, I mean, I am sure that the most users of the reformed accent don't sound that way in real life. The guy from Spirit and Truth talked like a normal guy, but when he preached, he had a reformed accent. It was slight. It wasn't heavy. Certainly not as heavy as some of the other guys on that show. But this guy, the guy you showed me recently on Sermon Audio, had a reformed accent. You do not have to pronounce words differently in order for them to have more weight. And it's all I want these people to know. There should be a class at your seminary where they just like make it clear, like one of the last classes they take, just stop pronouncing words weird. Just stop it. Stop. Talk normal.
So I
want. That's all I want.
I have so many questions still. Yes. Were there particular words that he said? I know this was a while ago. This was back in January.
Yeah. Actually, you know the first word that came to my mind? It's,
no.
It's how they pronounce the word. This is hard. It's the only word I could think of that I remember him just saying in such a strange way. Because he was going through Hosea. I don't know if he was going through the entire book.
Yeah, that's helpful to clarify.
And thank you. It's the core story.
And by the way, that word, I looked it up. That's in the ESV too.
Do you think I'm objecting to that use of the word?
No. I know that every time I hear a pastor say it in a sermon, I always feel like it's a little bit uncomfortable. Like just the fact that
Maybe.
Word was used.
Yeah.
And I thought that's got to be a KJV thing, because I listened to his whole series on Hosea. It's excellent. And I'll put the link in the show notes and all. But I listened to his whole series, and the first few times he used it and read it out of the KJV and then used the word, I was like, man, it feels like it's a word that we wouldn't use except in a very different sense, maybe. But the ESV still has it in the book of Hosea and a handful of other places.
And I will say, it's not just the a strange pronunciation of the word. Usually the reformed accent is manifested in how a guy uses or pronounces the word or the consonant R. Things go weird with that consonant in a word. That's one of the big giveaways of a reformed accent. But that's not exclusive to that. There's also like this ethereal cadence that they speak with.
Ethereal cadence. Okay.
Yes. And it's just like, you don't have to talk this way. You don't have to talk this way to get the message across. And they all do it. Not just Reformed people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Reformed accent, I believe, is very special and somewhat exclusive to these types of preachers, especially in the RPCNA, but not just them.
I know. There's a methodology or a philosophy of preaching called experimental preaching that you may have read about at some point, but it kind of doesn't matter because it's neither here nor there. One of the biggest schools.
I am not training to be a pastor.
Being a proponent of this view is why am I forgetting it? It's that one in Florida. Why am I so dumb, Jim? I'm sorry. You're going to need to cut some of this.
Yep, I'm just writing it down. Remind me what you're looking for again.
There's a seminary. Greenville. Greenville Seminary.
Oh, that's in Florida. I thought it was in South Carolina.
You might actually be right. That's probably why my Google search really wasn't working for me. Yeah, it's in South Carolina. Okay, so.
South Carolina. They have an accent down there as well.
But so the one of the guys.
Are you from Greenville? Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I never laughed. That was just a cough.
Okay, right. We know this.
One of the guys who's best known from there is Robert McCurley. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah, him. He has a Reformed accent.
So he, I think, might be one of the originators of the Reformed accent. Because he, I want to say he has a Scottish background.
So, but is he, though? Is he Scottish? Or did he, like, train there, perhaps?
That's my intuition is that either that or he's Canadian. Like, he could just be Canadian. And like, Canadian people just talk weird. But.
Yeah,
the important thing here is that Greenville is one of the, like, if you want to preach experimental, you go to Greenville or you go to Puritan. And Greenville is like the biggest one, the cheapest one. And Robert McCurley is like well beloved there and well known. And if you're listening to example sermons and you're trying to learn this method, he's one of the guys that you're going to listen to the most. And so a lot of guys may be picking up on specifically Robert McCurley's weird Canadian, French Canadian, Scottish accent thing that has, and it's so subtle. Like, I think he's really tried to work to sound more normal. Plus, you know, then he ended up in South Carolina, so, you know,
yeah,
there's a lot going on there.
Sure,
but that's my theory, Jim.
So what is, could you define real quick experimental preaching? Like, I'm not quite clear what that means.
Yeah, so experimental preaching, so Joel Beakey's, the first chapter of his book on this is probably the best place to go. But to summarize it, there are a handful of things. One is that it is preaching with a sense of unction or a sense of urgency or passion. So it's not monotone. Different men have different levels that they'll speak at. And so, like, you know, if you're not all that excitable, you might not sound all that excited. But if you are excitable, you will sound excited. Like, the idea being that it's the thing you're most passionate about. It, you should believe that preaching is something that you're more passionate about God's word than anything else in your life. And that's not actually the most important one. Another one is that it's preaching with application and specific application at that. So not just don't steal, but talking about how people in our society steal in ways that you might not think are obvious, like time theft or, you know, illegally downloading music. So preaching to things that are going to make people angry at you. Okay. And then it's also Christ-centered. That should go without saying, but it doesn't. And then also, it provides helps for how to obey. So the suggestion to the man who, always visits the, adult video store on his way home, to use an analogy from 1972, being, hey, find a different way home. That kind of thing. So it tries to find ways to help people when they're fighting with their sin or fighting to, you know, do their quiet time or what have you. And then the last one would probably be that it calls, and this is where it gets the name experimental, it calls the listener, it shows the listener, this is the Christian life, this is who God is, this is who you are, this is who you're supposed to be. It calls the listener through very specific questions to examine himself and see if he's living up to what the scriptures are calling him to be. So asking the listener questions like, when was the last time that you prayed for nobody else but God? You know, prayed in, you know, how much do you pray in your prayer closet versus how much do you pray in front of other people? Okay. Those kinds of questions. So that would be a brief summary of Experimental Preaching by David McCookie, copyright 2022.
Okay. 2 points. Joel Beakey doesn't use a Reformed accent. He sounds normal. Second point is, that sounds like just preaching. Like, why does it have to be, you know, something special?
I agree.
Okay.
Because it exists right now in contradistinction to the redemptive historical method, which started with Sidney Gradonis, who believed that it was always wrong to preach moral examples. Like, so we are preaching on the life of David, and David is looking out over his rooftop. He's not gone out to war with his army. He's being idle, and because of his idleness, he sees Bathsheba, and we all know the rest of that story. an experimental preacher would call you to examine whether if you continue falling into sin, is it because you're idle? Are you doing the things that you're supposed to be doing? Sidney Greidanus would say that that is borderline demonic to do that to a biblical text. And so the redemptive historic movement, I mean, John MacArthur has actually said that he doesn't believe that it's his job to apply the scriptures at all. That's the job of the Holy Spirit and the job of the listeners. All he's supposed to do is tell you what the text says and relate it to other texts to explain it in greater detail. But he doesn't believe that it's his job to explain it at all. And that is the one of the larger views of preaching these days.
That's very strange. Every MacArthurite I've ever met has been they've been pretty strong moralists who call people to good moral action, and the basis of which of that call is the scriptures. I've known a couple.
Well, and I would say that MacArthur does the same thing, and I would say that he's just not living up to his preaching, his definition of preaching, which is a grace. I think it's often the case that people with far-fetched views, like things that are just really, really wrong, rarely live up to those views.
Huh. Well, this took a turn. Well, this is good to know. But it's my fault because I asked a question. So I'm glad experimental preaching sounds very novel. So hopefully it catches on, as they say, I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, Reformed accent. People got it. It's very strange, and this guy's got it.
So you
bring up a great point that Robert McCurley is in an influential position. I didn't know that he was a seminary professor.
I don't know if he actually teaches there, but he is at the church.
Oh, okay.
So if you physically go to Greenville, you're going to be probably at his church because he's the pastor of Greenville Presbyterian Church.
Well, I'm sure a lot of RPC guys like to listen to him because you guys have your celebrities as well.
Although he is Free Church of Scotland. He's not RPCNA.
Okay, good point. But you guys have a lot of commonalities, correct?
Yes, certainly.
Like you would ride in the same war camps, maybe?
I mean, it really depends on the war and the camp. Also, I don't like camping.
Yeah, it's rough, especially in a humid climate. Well, okay, we've badgered this long enough. Are you satisfied
it's very dry
with my
here.
Answers?
I have just accent. a couple more questions. One is, this is a future question for the next time we get together. You need to listen to the sermon that I am sending you right now. And it's a pretty short one. So it was an evening service sermon.
And I'm to
tell me if he has a Reformed accent. And also tell me if you think I'm right that he sounds kind of like Stephen Lawson.
Okay. Yep. I will evaluate both those points.
And then lastly, what did you think of the sermon besides the Reformed accent?
Strong. Very strong. I mean, it's a point that I've heard not often in evangelical circles. And I have a point on the evangelical accent. I have something there that'll help people understand the Reformed accent more.
Okay.
Now, it has been some time since I've listened to it, but I thought this guy was very, very strong. This is the kind of preaching that I don't want to say I like this kind of preaching.
I know what you mean.
Doesn't seem like a very valuable thing to say. Like it doesn't feel like it has any weight to it. It's the kind of preaching that were I to be in a particular kind of sin that I would run away from.
Hmm.
And therefore, I appreciate his words and would want to have someone like him to be my preacher to teach me about those higher lessons from the book of Hosea, specifically in his marriage to the prostitute and what God was trying to teach him through that series of events. Because were you in some certain kinds of sin, that you would not listen to this sermon for very long. Mm. And that is just, that's our PCNA preaching all day long. Mm. It's not easy to hear, but that is what we need. So that's the best compliment I can probably give to the guy.
Yeah. Appreciate that. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me in particular, but I'm happy to hear you
say
that.
Well, thank you for saying that.
No, I mean, like I said, I appreciate that.
Thank
but
you, Jim,
like,
for that
I
comment.
Didn't preach the sermon.
I feel nothing.
I'm so bad at human interactions. Have you noticed this, Jim?
No, but I'm cool with it. I mean, it's just you and me here, you know?
Right. Yes.
And our 8 listeners.
Yes.
Down from 9.
Actually, Sarah's stopped,
all right.
So.
Good for her.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I'm good on all of that then.
Okay. She stopped like right at the end. It's kind of weird. Like
she stopped
so
listening
much
to all podcasts. She just doesn't have time right now. But I think she'll get back.
cool. My previous point. Evangelicals, there is somewhat of a parallel between the Reformed accent and what your preachers do. So evangelicals, if your preacher pronounces Jesus like Jesus.
Oh, yeah, like the sustained G chord on a guitar.
Yeah, like when it's just that weird emphasis, weird emphasis on the weird on a weird syllable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is an attempt, or that is similar to what the Reformed accent is. They're trying to give the name an elevated status by mispronouncing it. So that is
that's one of the funnier things you've said.
It is,
yeah.
But it's true. It's true. So if your preacher talks normal, pronounces words in a commonly accepted way, but then says Jesus, do not trust him.
He has an evangelical accent.
But it's same application, same issues are at play. So that's like a parallel, or there may be other words. Like they may say Isaiah out of nowhere, and they have no reason to do so.
That's true, because the Christian is not preacher. Reformed.
He's not. He's not historically reformed.
Right.
That's my last point on that.
All right, I have one more question. I'm so sorry. Do I have a reformed accent?
No, you don't.
Okay.
You don't have it at all.
But I've never preached in front of you.
I think you pronounce most words correctly. You don't get weird on Jesus.
I just say drawing instead of drawing.
Okay, you're all right. You're still okay.
Say Z instead of Z. Oh, I say H that's instead of H. And sometimes when there's a vowel after the word or the participle, is it a participle? What is that word? Like A, the article.
Yeah.
After the article A, if there's a vowel after it, I say, or not a vowel, if there's an H after it, like an heavenly inheritance. I say an heavenly inheritance, not a heavenly inheritance. But that's just because that's what my Bible says.
David. Those things all make you weird. It doesn't mean you have a reformed accent, so you're okay.
Okay, good to know.
So you're good. No, that's why I trust you. If you had a reformed accent, this podcast probably would have ended years ago. Because I just do not trust those people.
Mm.
I
don't. Oh, you don't trust me?
So I do.
Oh.
But to my detriment. So I've gone this far with you. Obviously, I do. No. Well, great. Hopefully you feel satisfied.
Well, Jim, this segment is not Jim and David ask each other anything, or this episode is not Jim and David ask each other anything.
No, it is not.
It is ask Bill anything.
It's ask Bill. You're right. So, folks, this episode is an ask Bill anything. So longtime listeners have noticed that on occasion we trot out our old, good, personal, close, mutual friend Bill Hasinger, to answer a series of questions submitted by listeners, either through voicemail or through Slack or what have you, carrier pigeon,
text message,
and he has his way with him. He imparts his wisdom, his aplomb, his the cut of his jib. He gives that unto you, and you do whatever you want.
Oh, I do not.
Well, we are having our last Ask Bill Anything today. We're going to bring Bill in, and he's going to answer a series of questions submitted by our listeners for the last time in the Lattice Form of Flogging podcast as we get very close to ending this show. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started with this show.
Amen.
And welcome back to the Lattice Form of Flogging podcast. I'm your guest announcer, Phil. And now we turn it over to Bill, Jim, and David for our last Ask Bill Anything. Go for it, Bill. Okay, thanks for that, sir. I'm not sure why we have a new announcer. I can just do that myself, but maybe we're having budget issues, David. Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. Thank you for that improv contribution. So let's go ahead and get the party started. We begin with a question from one of our longtime listeners, Grant Baker, co-host of the Balm and Gilead podcast. Here we go.
Hi, Bill. This is longtime listener and fan, Grant Baker. I have a very serious question that I'd like your opinion on. It's something really that only you can help me understand. Could you please help me understand your theology of gospel-centered palates? Thank you. I really appreciate it. And best luck in your future, buddy. Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you for that question, Grant. Always appreciate the contributions to the show that you've made over the years. Bill, any thoughts?
I approach my palate buying like I watch movies. I look, and by the way, thank you, Jim and David, for having me on this show. I feel very honored, and I feel very honored as well. I also feel very honored to be on this show today. So thank you for inviting me. I feel very honored. So I will continue with my answer. May I do that, Mr. David?
Well, I just wanted to know how you feel about being on the show, but that, then feel free.
Okay. Well, I believe I feel very honored. So I will go ahead and answer the question now that I have David's permission.
Wait, I'm kind of the host. It's my show. I'm kind of the host of the show. I need to give you permission.
Shut up, Jim.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I approach my palate buying like I watch movies. I look for gospel parallels in characters from secular movies that have nothing to do with the gospel, in order to redeem culture and to sound like an idiot. So when I am at the lumberyard, I prefer to select palettes that best reflect gospel truths by looking at the wood grain.
What do you mean, the wood grain?
Why, it's easy, David. I look for pictures of Mary and other Bible characters in the wood. And those are the palettes I select for my store floor.
Wait, you're telling me you only have palettes that have depictions of Bible characters in the wood grain? Like a piece of toast?
That sounds really close to unlawful.
Oh no, do not worry, my dearest David.
Do not call me that.
Sorry. Well, every time we find a palette with a picture of you and McGregor on it, we really burn it right away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. This sounds legit, Jim.
Oh, of course it does. Now it does. Well, okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, I learned something new today. I should take a trip someday and see this palette store.
Yes, we just got a shipment of Apostle John Gumwood. They really are quite beautiful.
I'm sure they are. So we'll go ahead and take another quick break and be right back.
Well, how do you do? I am Hellcat Maggie, here to say my goodbyes as we say goodbye to the Lightest Farm Flagging Podcast. I have enjoyed my adventures on the show, as I hope you have as well. While I may not have accomplished my goal of finally clawing David's face off, I feel like my place on the show is complete. And so, I go off into the fantasy land they have created for me, walking off into a sunset to kiss the Blarney Stone of a complete podcast life. But make no mistake, boyo, if they ever bring me back, I will be looking for my shot at David's face. For I will be sharpening my nails and my teeth ready for the blessed Irish day, when I finally get to claw the Presbyterian. To claw the Presbyterian.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes.
Jim, where did you get this character from? I mean, you've created some weird ones, but Maggie seems a bit extreme.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Her one and only goal seems to be causing me facial disfiguration in almost every skit she's in. Even on her goodbye skit, you had to write it in.
These characters come from strange places. I get that. But there's great comedy and violence.
We're a family show, Jim. I think maybe you should ease up. Actually, can I be honest with you?
Yes, please.
I think maybe it's you who wants to claw my face off. You're just using Maggie to manifest your desires.
That's absurd. I have never wanted to cause you harm. But hey, be honest, you probably wanted to do the same when I bought that Dell computer.
I was tempted for a time.
For how long?
0.68 seconds, sir. But for an Android, that is nearly an eternity. What are you doing?
Filing my nails. Why? All right, we're back. In the saddle, separate saddles, separate saddle oil, having a good time in the trail of life. Next up, we have a voicemail from one of our youngest listeners asking about a topic that has remained a mystery. Or as the Reformed say, a mystery. They don't say it like that. During the show's life. So let's go ahead and hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, troubled listeners of the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast, I am Jaden Baker, favorite son of listener Grant Baker, formerly thought to be Anakin Baker. And I have an intense and rather dangerous question for Bill Hassinger that may cause the end of the world as we know it. So, Bill, what was your life like as a child?
It seems that he wants to know not just how Bill the man is, but Bill the women and Bill the children.
You know, of all your impressions, that may be the one that makes me laugh the most. It's like, it shouldn't be that way, you know? It's so good. It may not like sound exactly like him, but like I just picture him saying it whenever you do that. It's just so funny.
It's the trick is you shut your teeth together and then you just talk. Like you can't open your jaw. You just fixed position.
Oh boy. Hey, you know what? I am tickled pink to see what he does in the new Obi-Wan show. Pretty excited about that. So hopefully he can redeem himself. Well, hey, enough about us talking about nothing. Let's go ahead and
I can't actually watch that series because of Second Commandment violation.
True. It is indeed unlawful. Sarah, put that remote down. We're not watching this. Let's go watch Scrubs or something.
Oh, dear.
There are no Second Commandment violations there. So anyways. Okay, well, hey, Bill's sitting there pretty awkward, like he usually does. So I guess this is normal, but I don't want him to feel left out. So let's go ahead and proceed on. So fine question there. Thanks, Jaden. Anakin, whatever your name is. I hope your hand feels better. Even though it is not there, and your other hand, and your leg, as well as your other leg, and your breathing ability. Bill? What? That was a Star Wars joke, Bill. Ah, yes, the movie's beloved by so many, yet by so few.
That makes no sense.
What else is new? Okay, Bill, your childhood, go.
Well, very, very well. Where do I begin? My father was a relentlessly self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium, with a low-grade narcolepsy and a penchant for rosewater. My mother was a shy French parking lot attendant named Chloe with webbed feet. My father would loudly lecture alone to his book Deep Into the Nights. He would drink, and he would make outrageous claims like he invented the question mark. Sometimes he would accuse chestnuts of being lazy, the sort of general malaise that only the genius possess and the insane lament. My childhood was typical, really. Summers in Rangoon, luge lessons. In the spring, we'd make meat helmets. When I was insolent, I was placed in a... When I was insolent, I was placed in a burlap bag and beaten with reeds. Pretty standard, really. At the age of 12, I received my first scribe. At the age of 14, a Catholic nun named Vilma ritualistically gifted me my first and last milkshake. Oh, there is really nothing like a milkshake in your hand. It's breathtaking, I suggest you try it. Though that day I did not drink mine, for its taste was forbidden, and its beauty had to remain in my memory, forever lost were I to drink it. Not much different than you, dear Anakin. I mean, Jaden. Thanks for that question, Anakin. I mean, Jaden, sorry. I'm not sure what to say.
I don't know what to do. That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
What do you mean, weird? That was my childhood. Do you dare mock me?
We all dare, and we should mock you, Bill. I guess we should move on to our next question, though I feel we shouldn't at this point, but let's do this. Let's take a quick break while we try and figure out what just happened.
Hail, I am Werner Herzog, German filmmaker and phantasm of the false and terrible existence of pain and illusion that you call life. The flogging show is ending, and now I must retreat to the screaming silence of the birds. I call upon you to follow me to the only meaning offered to you in this cold universe of the void. Nothingness. It embraces you as unto death.
Jim, what is with you and this Werner Herzog guy anyway? Nobody knows who this guy is, and you picked him for a goodbye bit?
He's mainstream, okay? He was in The Mandalorian, all right? He wants to see the baby.
I know, the baby. Yes. I just think he's a strange selection for our final episode push.
Your mom is a strange selection for our final episode push.
Yes, she would have been.
Okay, look, he was our first celebrity endorsement. I think it's fitting that he's here with us at the end.
Will you both come with me into the dark nothingness that waits us?
Why does he talk like that?
I don't know.
I will hold your hand and guide you.
Please don't.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be touched by Germans or really anybody.
Fine, I will go alone, for I am most content to separate from that which binds me to anything of meaning or value. Farewell.
Okay, bye.
See ya, Werner.
Oh, hello there. I'm Pastor Gus from the hit public television show On the Lake with Pastor Gus. I also have my trusted friend and fishing buddy, Sven, with me. Say hey, Sven.
Oh, hey, Sven. Oh, hey, everyone. Thanks for fishing with us at the lake.
That's right, Sven. We thank you all for your support of our little show as we travel the lakes of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Broken Whistle, Montana. Hey, why don't you go ahead and hand me a beer there, Sven?
Oh, we drank it all.
What? What are you trying to say to me, Sven? We're all the way out on Lake Wissota, and we have no beer? What are we going to do?
Oh, no, it's okay. Let's just go over to Gar's Tavern over on the shore and go pick up some more. I'm sure we'll find some.
Okay, well, we better go. But while Sven pulls up anchor, we just want to say our goodbyes and congrats to Jim and David for such a fine run with the flogging show.
Why do we keep getting shot at every time we go fish? Is that Ollie? I thought he was in jail.
Oh, we better go. Ollie, you and your boat can sink to the bottom of this lake, for you will never take us.
Punch it, Sven. He's gaining on us.
Well, that's it for us. Thank you all for listening, and we hope to see you on the lake someday.
Sven, why don't we have a gun?
Oh, no, I brought one. Here, hold the wheel. To Poseidon with you!
He's gaining on us. We can only go 6 miles an hour, Sven.
Okay, take the gun. I will get out and paddle. We'll go faster this way.
It's working, Sven. Ha! He's giving up. We have won the day. Keep paddling. Let's go to Gar's Tavern and get some Leinenkugel to celebrate.
I will go there now.
All right. Thank you for that, Pastor Gus and Sven. We will miss you. So let's go ahead and continue on with our ABBA, Ask Bill Anything, with a question from Pax Cosmos, longtime listener, not first-time caller.
This is Pax Cosmos.
I'm going to play it for me.
Or Pax Cosmos. I conflate Latin and Greek together, and I have not left you guys a voicemail since probably the very beginning. And I'm assuming maybe this might be the only voicemail you guys get. And I do have a question to Bill. Bill, what life advice would you give me to give my life more meaning? Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Jim. And thank you, David. And I wish you all well. And I will never call you guys again. Goodbye.
Thank you, Pax Cosmos. Appreciative of your support of the show over the years. Bill, what do you think?
Well, I'm very appreciative of your longtime support, Mr. Plaque Poplos, and I'm very honored to have your question come across my mind. So I would say my parting words of wisdom to you would be whenever you see a pastor preaching a sermon and there are pallets on the stage, I want you not to think of me. No. Oh, no. Do not think of me. But after the sermon is done, or maybe during the sermon, I don't want to tell you what to do. I am not your boss. I want you to go and touch the wood grain and feel the rhythm of the world through me. And feel the wood grain and follow it down and think of the life lessons of the wood that it done teaches you so gooder. And if after that you do not feel anything, then I don't know what to do with you. So that's what I would suggest. All right.
I followed that, I think. And that's a great question. Thank you, Pax Cosmos. Appreciate your listenership. You've been one of the good ones. Well, thank you very much. Let's move on to the next one. We will close out this last ABBA with a question about the future.
Hey, Bill. Chris Ragsdale here. Just wondering what you will be doing with yourself now that the lightest form of flogging is ending. Are you returning to your pallet depot days? Are you going to be working on more scent I'm just so broken up over the whole thing. Bill, what will you be doing?
Wow. All right. Yeah, that voicemail from a very emotional Chris Ragsdale, who has been a compatriot of mine.
He was emotional? That's not why I said wow, but keep going.
Okay. Because it has no effect on you. Thank you for that question, Chris Ragsdale. Always a good one. We always are curious about Bill's future, our future of the show, which we will address ourselves in a future episode. But I guess we're curious about what Bill is going to do for his future. Because, you know, after all, David, I'm not killing him off. Though I haven't yet made the decision fully whether I'm going to kill Bill
off. I'm sure the authorities are pleased to hear that.
Yes, the fake authorities.
But wait, hold on. I'm confused. What universe are we currently in? Because I thought you we and were I are in the universe normal. Where he didn't have a palette thing and he just had a podcast. Or are we back in universe zero?
No, we decided to end the show. So what I decided to do was not retcon, but just make his life a lot more simple. In giving him a pallet shop.
Okay.
That's what I decided to do. So as we leave him, he is just going to have a pallet shop and be more content that way.
All right. I can be okay with that.
You are the only person who will care about that continuity. So keep that in mind.
For the record, in the musical, he totally has his own show.
So, Bill, what will you now do that the show is over? What are you doing?
What does it sound like? I'm crying.
Was Chris's emotion affecting you, Bill? That's very touching. He's one of our longtime listeners.
Who?
Chris. Chris Ragsdale. The guy who just left a voicemail. You just heard it.
Oh, him. No. I was not listening to anything he said. I just got a text from my wife. We just got our lease approved for the new pallet shop in downtown Broken Whistle. I am no longer going to be doing my podcast.
That's great, Bill. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're out of time. Thank you all. Goodbye.
Wait, Jim, Bill, that's great news. I can't believe you did it. After all you've been through, going back to where you started, selling pallets to churches for their stupid stages, it feels so uncomfortable and unlawful, but, you know, kind of beautiful in a way.
I know. I've been through so much.
You are the worst crier on this show, Bill. I think you should show our listeners more respect. Chris hung with us for years.
You've been so mean to Bill, Jim. I think you should apologize before the end. It's the right thing to do.
And you're crying now. Why are you crying?
I'm just sad that it's all ending.
But you never feel emotion. This just feels odd to me. Can we just get back on track here? Bill, pull yourself together and answer Chris's question. Go.
I'm sorry. While we have come to the end of my time here, I have experienced much in my podcast life. I started off as a satirical jab at modern church stage setups, but grew to be the most prominent character on the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast. And now, as the show is ending, I will continue my life in Broken Whistle, Montana, selling pallets to pastors named Chad, so I can afford my wife's night train habit. We will carry on our life with dignity, joy, and aplomb. And while I never cause joy when I am around, I only cause it when I leave. And I now leave you all with a tear in my eye and a pain in my stomach on account of the Arby's I ate earlier.
Nice, Bill.
It's not my fault they changed sauces on me. I have a delicate system.
Would you get on with it?
Okay. Farewell, my beloved listeners. I wish you all a very fond farewell. Goodbye.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. He just vanished.
Vanished where? He just disappeared. That's impossible.
What makes you think I know where he went?
That's it? That's how we end Bill Hassinger? He quotes the Lord of the Rings and just vanishes to the Shadow Realm.
So the Ring of Power has been found.
This is the dumbest way to send off Bill.
Is it, though? Let's just end the show.
Fine.
Won't someone save me from this podcast? Is it over or just dragging along? Will these two guys talk forever? Or will they quit if I sing them this song? My back is sore from all this flagellation. I know the scarring process will be tough, but 90 minutes for this conversation. Started off so tongue-in-cheek. Now it seems it's almost over. So I'll just have